Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of a city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
Again, you know, how many were here a year ago when I was here? Wow, that's a lot. How many were not here a year ago? Okay. Yeah, I saw so many hands go up. My goodness. Well, that's good news. I must have not done my half bad last year, huh? I am so excited. And when I told my church that I was coming here, I said, man, they just feel like home like it does here. I just feel right at home. I feel like I can just share with you. And I have a question for you. How many came expecting tonight? And I'm not talking about a baby bump. You came expecting, because when you come expecting the Holy Spirit on the inside of me can tell, and you're going to draw what's out of me. I have so much. In fact, I was telling Sybil earlier, I have so much that I want to share with you. I can't share it all. And so I'm asking the Holy Spirit. I was praying again this morning. God, what is it this afternoon? I have all of this. I want to just, and I can't get it all. So I can't download it all. But I have so much inside of me. But it's interesting, the selection of songs that was chosen as far as the song about the heart. Because I knew the first session was going to be about your heart. And if you're taking notes, the title of the first session is Guard Your Heart. Guard Your Heart. I highly recommend get something out. Because what's going to happen is we're leaky vessels. And so by a week from now, you're going to forget and you're going to go, now, where was that? What was that she said? Or what did God try to communicate to me? So take some notes, whether on your iPad or whatever. So while you're getting that out, just a little bit about me. If you're brand new, yes, my husband and I pastor in the Tacoma, Seattle area and have... been pastoring our church for 16 years this January, and we started from scratch like you guys, and it's been a blast. It's been awesome. And then the other piece is for the last 5 years, I actually coach competitive cheer, and my husband actually does also. We do everything together. I don't know. We've been married for a lot of years, and we were high school sweethearts, and we dated for 5 years, and then we got married, and he's the love of my life. And so we do everything together. So I coach competitive cheer, and we have two beautiful daughters who love Jesus with all of their heart. The oldest is in college. She's a junior at Grand Canyon University in Phoenix, and then my youngest is a senior in high school. And so they both were cheerleaders all the way up. And so this is my daughter's senior year in competitive cheer. And so she's keeping the home front burning. So she's taking care of the dog and the cat and, you know, all of that kind of stuff at home. And but she's a sweetheart. She's my little blessing. She's short like me. My other one's like up here, but my youngest is short like me. But you know what the bummer of it is? She got like a half of an inch taller. And I went, no, you're not supposed to get taller than me. But, you know, when you're only 5 feet, half inch, what can I say? You know, I claim that half inch. So that's a little bit about me. But about guarding your heart, we're going to go to Proverbs. Now, I'm going to help you out because I have a lot of scripture in these next two sessions. So if you are one that you cannot turn fast enough, I am going to help you out. But I do recommend you at least jot down the reference if you can't get there fast enough so you can go back and look at it later. So we're going to be going to our key verse is Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So when we get born again, being born again and becoming a believer and accepting Jesus Christ, that's our first step to living a successful, victorious life. That is step number one. So if you haven't done that, I am believing by the end of the night, that will be the priority. That's step number one. But Jesus came to set us free from all hindrances. Did you know that? Salvation is more than a free ticket to heaven. There's so much more in the word salvation. And so he wants us to live a victorious life. And the unguarded heart is one area where we can allow hurt and insecurity to actually limit and eventually control us and hinder us from the victorious life. And it's amazing as women how much this, I love Brittany brought up that we are emotional. And, you know, let's face it, women, we are more emotional than men. It's true. But we got to guard the heart, the song heart about God doesn't give it to us in pieces. He wants us to guard it so that we don't allow it, our own heart, to be pieces. Our future depends on what your heart looks like. So if you got your Bibles, we're going to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And this is where we see Samuel and Saul. And we're going to verse 28. So Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you." Well, that doesn't sound like good news, does it? Can you imagine if someone said that to you? The prophet comes up to you and goes, "The kingdom is not yours anymore. I'm giving it to somebody else who has a better heart." Let's go to verse 14. We're going to back up a chapter. We're going to go to chapter 13, 14. "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart." Everybody say that with me. After his own heart. God's looking for someone that has a heart like him. God is looking for someone after his own heart. "And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." So David's heart. Well, what did it look like? So if God's looking for someone, so including today, that has a heart after him, what does that look like? So what did David's heart look like? Well, his heart was desiring to love God. His heart was wanting to serve, honor. I overheard that you're doing a series on honor. David had a heart that knew how to honor. It had a heart that knew how to obey. And we find this out because, all through scripture, but Psalms 51, if we got it there, Psalms 51 in verse 7 says, this is David talking. So you kind of get, a little sneak peek onto what he's saying. He says, "Purge me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the homes you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence." Well, there we get a glimpse of the heart, don't we? He said, "I want to be in your presence." In other words, he loved praise and worship. He loved to just sit in his presence. He said, "Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit." We're coming back to that. Holy Spirit from me. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." So I guess the question I have is, what does your heart look like? What is your heart? Does it have disease in it? Is it broken in pieces? When I say disease, there is such a thing as heart disease in the natural. But there is also such a thing as a heart disease in the spiritual. And a heart disease comes in a lot of different areas. It comes from hurt, pain. And all of a sudden that hurt and that pain attaches itself to our heart. And all of a sudden we got a heart problem. And we have to figure out how to get that heart healed. And that's why I really, truly believe, as I was praying for you women, that God wants to heal and restore some hearts, because whole heart. So not only is God going to heal some hearts tonight, but God is going to show you how to guard your heart. I went into ministry at a very young age. And I remember my first job at a church. I was actually 19 years old, and the job was offered to me, and my mother said to me, "Starling, you're really young. I don't know if you can handle this. And I'm like, I can handle working in a church office. I mean, seriously, how hard can that be? And she goes, no, I don't think you understand. Your whole life, you've grown up in the church and you've seen the lovely. But you're about ready to see another side that it's very much as a 19-year-old, you're going to have to know how to guard your heart. I didn't quite know what she was talking about. I was in a denominational church that I'm actually not, we're non-denominational now, but I was in a denominational church and I found out what she was talking about. In about 6 months, I went to my first, what they called a business meeting. And I was so in love with all these people. And I sat there so excited to be at my first business meeting. And I'm so official. You know, I'm not only one of the congregation, I'm a staff member. And I'm sitting there. And all of a sudden, I saw some things come out of people that I went, wow, yikes. I thought that was lovely Susie. Lovely Susie is not so lovely tonight. What got into Susie? And then all of a sudden, Bertha got up. And Bertha was like, whoa. And then George got up and, wow, I haven't seen that side of George. By the time I got out of there, I had knots in my stomach. And I went, okay, what Mom was talking about made sense. I got to know how to guard my heart because we all deal with flesh. And tonight I'm going to be talking about different ways that our heart gets hurt. But do you know that sometimes your heart can get hurt by another believer? No. I mean, we think the world out there is going to hurt us, right? It's them. It's the devil, that stinking devil. But we don't expect anything from the people that we love. Let me tell you something. It is the people that you love that is going to get you the greatest. Because when you open your heart to love, you've opened your heart. That's why your family members can hurt the worst. Because you've opened your heart to your family. And you love them. And when they hurt you, it hurts the deepest. Joe Blow out there that I don't know that's doing his funky thing out there in the world, I don't really care. He's not going to hurt me. But you get close to my family, oh, that can go deep. That's like, takes your breath away kind of hurt, right? So if that's the case, and God is looking after someone that's got a heart like him, then we better figure out how to guard it so that we're not a bunch of broken pieces all over the floor all the time. Because let's face it, we all have flesh. And not everyone, although you all look so pretty tonight, although you all look so pretty, not every one of you is going to be pretty all the time in what comes out of your heart. And there might be times when something comes out that wasn't lovely, but the person that you just let it come out to didn't have a guarded heart. And so all of a sudden their heart was, and if they don't allow God to heal it, then they take that around with them. And pretty soon somebody else says something and they take that around with them. And pretty soon somebody else, pretty soon you've got this heart disease. David was a man after God's own heart. Conditions of the heart. I want you to, if you're taking notes, these are some things that can happen to an unguarded heart. Don't worry, ladies. You're going to find out how to guard your heart. But first, we got to find out how can it get wounded, okay? If you don't know how to guard your heart, these are some things that you can recognize immediately. You know, when you go in and they start realizing you have a heart problem in the natural, they start asking you questions. So I'm going to throw some stuff out at you to ask you some questions so that you can figure out if you got any heart issues tonight. Okay? Are you ready? So one of the conditions that you can find out if you've got something on the inside is loneliness. If you are experiencing loneliness, the need for intimacy will cause people to do things that are unhealthy. Yeah, I might say that again. The need for intimacy will cause people to do things that are unhealthy. So you don't want to have a lonely heart. I experienced loneliness once in my lifetime. And yes, it was even after I was married. And it was actually when I was in Bible school. Can you believe that? I was surrounded by believers who were going into the ministry. Can you believe that? We were all, woo, we're going into ministry. ministry. We're going to be preachers and teachers of the word of God. We were in love with Jesus, but I was so lonely. My husband worked two jobs. We both went to school in the morning. We actually had already had our first child. We had a baby. And so we would go to school, and then I would take care of our baby the rest of the day, and he worked two more jobs. So I never saw him. And so, you know, my oldest daughter couldn't talk. So, you know, hours upon hours, I was like, I'm going to go crazy. I am so lonely for someone who actually can carry on a conversation. And, but I knew I couldn't allow loneliness to get to me. I'm telling you, do you know there are, you might see on TV or things when people in ministry fall. When we were new in ministry and someone would fall, man, it would make me so mad. And I started doing this. How dare they? How dare they? And I realized I had three pointing back at me. Be careful when you point a finger. You got some pointing back at you. And God arrested my heart and said, do not judge. You're not in their shoes. And my husband and I both, we repented and said, God, it's only through your grace and your mercy that we will stay following true to everything you've called us to and follow what you have commanded us to. We will not be the judge anymore. But the reason I bring that out is I had some choices when I got lonely. There are some people that I went to Bible school with who are not serving the Lord anymore. And there are some opportunities of having a heart that could get wounded. See, there were some people who got lonely during those times, and they couldn't handle it because their heart was not guarded. And so during those times, they looked for intimacy in other places. So I had to guard my heart. I hardly saw my husband. In fact, once we were even out of Bible school and we started ministry, we were on staff at a church. Not what I signed up for. Office all day, and then he taught classes all evening. I was like, dear Lord, this is not what I signed up for. I am lonely. He's always gone. I had to guard my heart. If tonight you are one of those women who go, man, I'm lonely. I'm either not with someone right now. My husband's left, or he's just gone all the time. I'm married to a workaholic. Guard your heart. Now, I'll tell you the good end of that story. When I was in Bible school, I began to earnestly seek a girlfriend. I said, God, I need someone in my life who I can have a conversation with other than, you know, la, 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 ga, ga, ga. You know, this just ain't working for me. And God sent me God girlfriend who actually, after 5 years of starting our church, they moved here and they're still with us to help us in our church. They are just God friends. So God answers your prayer. But in the meantime, if you're in the waiting room tonight and you're like, I'm so lonely, and you feel like you've been lonely for years and you're in the waiting room, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Number two, what does a heart possibly look like that is unguarded? It's insecure. Insecure. When I coach competitive cheer, and I've done this, I've coached 5 years as a head coach. I actually coached as an assistant before that. But I've noticed something every single year because I get a new batch of girls. I get some returners, but, you know, I always get new ones coming up. And I've noticed something at the beginning of the year, not all the girls always like me. And that can cause some very great problems. There can be a whole host of things that can cause. But I have to guard my heart because I do fall in love with my cheerleaders. I'm with them for a whole year. I fall in love with these girls. So when new girls come on and they start saying things behind my back, you know, I have to guard my heart. I have to go, oh, yeah, they're new. And once in a while, if they're a returner and they say something, woo, that really hurts, doesn't it? You know, once again, I've fallen in love with them. So, you know, and they got stupid things like, I don't know why she does that. Why is she putting me in this position? I'm better at that than this. And I don't know. She doesn't know what she's doing. You know, and they can say all kinds of things. And then I've also noticed over the years, I've had different assistant coaches over the years. And, you know, they're not even a teenager. They're older. And it's so lovely when they say things behind your back. And they get together and why? Well, if I was the head coach, I would do this and this and this. Yeah, come on. You ever been in that position where somebody behind your back is going, well, if I were her, I would do this. I don't know what she thinks she's doing. Well, you know, it happens to all of us. But I have to guard my heart. I have to guard my heart. I did something really, really crazy this year. I hired, as an assistant coach, the woman who was the head coach before me. I even had the principal tell me, that's gutsy. I don't know if I'd ever do that. I'm like, yeah, it's gutsy, all right. Well, let me tell you, it was a little interesting the first few months. Whew! Talk about needing to guard my heart. You know, she didn't like this and she didn't like that, so she's going to go tell the AD director and the principal, I can't believe she's doing this, I can't believe she's done that. I had to guard my heart. But pretty soon, we're buds now. We finally got into that place where we're buds and we are working together. And she actually said to me, you know what? I'm learning from you. I'm growing from you. But you know, in the process, if you are in the middle of the process of this, you can become not lovely. And do you know an insecure heart says securities if you don't think you're good enough? If you feel like I don't measure up, I'm not as good as them, they're always better than I am, you will continually have a wounded heart. Your security has to come from only God. And if you measure up to him and you go to him and you go, God, am I doing something wrong? Show me. He will. If you're open and ready for it, he will. And if you're not, you go, God, I take my security from you. Not from man. Okay, how about women? We like to look great, don't we? We like to look skinny and muscular and in shape. And if we don't, what happens to us? Well, I just don't measure up. They're better than me. And we take that all on. Come on. What is that? Our security is coming from him. Does he think you're beautiful? Well, I think he does. I think he does. And if we think anything else, we're telling God, you made a mistake. God made no mistakes. Not from someone next door. Not from, I'll go as far as to say this. If you're not getting security from your husband, guard your heart. What do I mean by that? I've had women say to me, my husband never tells me I'm beautiful. He never tells me I look good. Well, then guard your heart. Because you're all of a sudden allowing something here. And it's going to turn into an ugly insecurity. Guard your heart. Basically, what it is approval addiction. Do you need to hear that to feel loved? Do you need the approval of a man to feel loved? Or can you have the approval of the Almighty God who made you? God makes no mistakes. All right, I'm going to quickly go through some other things that look like an unguarded heart. If you've ever said, this person will say things like, I know. You've ever said that? I know. Yeah, the tone and everything. I know. You're defensive. No, you don't really know. You just don't want to hear it because your heart is wounded. When somebody tries in love to tell you something, your heart's already wounded, so you can't handle it. So because you've got a wounded heart, instead of responding back in love and trying to receive it, it's just, I know. Okay. I know. How about, second one is, you don't want to change. Because if you have to change, it means you have to admit that you might have had something wrong. And you don't want to admit that you might have had something wrong. So you don't want to change. That's a sign of an unguarded heart, an unhealthy heart. How about you're just quiet and withdrawn?
withdrawn, so wounded and so hurt, you don't want to talk to nobody. So you're just withdrawn.
Or you might even go the opposite. You might act all tough and showing off, and you have to tell everybody about the achievements you've made. Because that makes you feel better because your heart's so wounded, your self-esteem is so tanked that the only way that you can live in life is to tell everybody about your title. I remember when we were newlyweds, so we had been youth pastors before we went to Bible school. And then after Bible school, we came back to go on staff at a church. But before we did, we just became youth leaders. And I remember at the time what an adjustment that was for me. I had to realize my identity was not in a title. It didn't matter what the title was. I just needed to be who God had created me to be. But it constantly was something that kept coming up. Like, I'm not the youth pastor. I just need to back off. I'm a youth leader. And I just need to back off. But I had to guard my heart that I didn't allow that to become an insecurity in my life. I am exactly where God wants me to be right now. It may not be that I have any position right now, but that's where God wants me. God just needs me to be right here and right now, and I need to be okay with it. Guard my heart. I remember times of laying in bed with my husband and having to discuss this issue. Because there's a lot of insecurities even with all of a sudden you have a title and all of a sudden you don't. And are you going to be okay with that? How about the next one is, do y'all know what I mean if I were to tell you a victim mentality? Do you know what that means? Okay, well, some of you are shaking your head, some aren't. A victim mentality is someone who always feels like everything in life is like somebody else's fault. And they just go around with that kind of mentality, like, you know, do y'all know Pooh Bear and Eeyore? Okay, now I'm getting some head shaking. Okay, so Eeyore was like this. It's a gloomy day, and it's gonna be gloomy tomorrow. Why? Well, because so-and-so did this to me, and so-and-so did that to me. Do you know, I have met people who are still blaming their parents, and they're like 30-something? Seriously? You need to guard your heart and quit blaming mom and dad and do the victorious life that God has created for you. If you're 30 years old and you're still blaming mom and dad, you got a problem. It is time to do and be what God has created you to be and do, and quit blaming mom and dad from umpteen years ago. Honestly, if you're still in your 20s and you're blaming mom and dad, you shouldn't be blaming anybody, because that's going to give you an unhealthy heart which can't fulfill what God has for you. God has something amazing for you, but a victim mentality won't get you anywhere. How about, I kind of hit on it, consumed with what others think of you. That's the approval addiction thing. A person with a heart issue has that. Oh, here's another one. And I can relate to this one. If you need food and activities to mask the pain, yeah, I got to drink water on that one. So when my daughter left for college 3 years ago, I realized my heart was not as guarded as I thought. I thought that first fall that my heart was going to rip in two. Seriously, my daughter and I were very, very close. I brought my youngest one with me last year. I don't know if you wouldn't have met my oldest, but I thought my heart was just going to... And I'm like, I have got to get a stronger heart. Because God has things for me to do right here while she's in Phoenix. I got to fulfill everything. I can't... Because what happens is if I allow that, then every time I'm meeting someone and trying to be Jesus and I'm trying to work through them, guess what? All of my is just going to come out on them, not what God has designed for me. I got to get this heart healthy and realize God's got my baby in Phoenix and I'm going to be just fine. I had to get to where, you know, that freshman 15 that they talk about when you go to college? Well, it happened to mom instead.
I was so bummed she was gone. All I could do was go, comfort, food. I like food. Where's food? I gained 15 pounds when she left for college. That is no joke. That is no joke. Is it, honey? Actually, he gained 15 too. Boy, together that's 30. That's not good. You know, and she gained 15 too. And we all went, okay, we got to do something about our heart issue here. So we're working on that. But food can mask the pain, can it? We just turn to food to mask the pain. And that is not a good mask the pain. That is not what we want. Another thing that a heart disease will do is avoid long-term commitments. They don't want to be committed to anything because their heart's been broken. They don't want to commit. They don't want to trust again. I've learned that love and trust are two different things. And trust is earned. And so don't throw your heart out to everyone as far as trusting them. You love. You learn to love them. There are a lot of people that I love that I don't trust. I'm just saying. I love a lot of people, but I don't trust a lot of the people that I love. So you got to be choosy on who you trust because, yeah, they'll just trample all over you. So guard your heart. Okay, let's look at what a healthy heart looks like. Are you ready? Are you all awake? What does a healthy heart look like? Okay, go to Galatians chapter 5. You all know this. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is. Now it tells us what a healthy heart looks like. This shouldn't be hard, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Wait, stop. Can we stop right there? Long-suffering? Seriously? That's what a healthy heart looks like? Dear Lord. Okay, keep going. Kindness. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Oh, I can't bite somebody's head. Self-control. The ones that stood out to me out of those, I mean, and there's 9 of the fruit of the Spirit. And seriously, we could spend hours just talking about each one of those to have a healthy heart. But the ones that stood out to me were love, joy, long-suffering, and kindness. So love. Ladies, when you are guarding your heart, you've got to know how to love people that are unlovely. How many have ever met an unlovely person? Okay, so when I get done editing all my daughters going through college papers, I am her chief editor. I have 4 right now papers in my inbox that I need to get to. But when I'm done with all that, I am going to be writing a book. And it's going to be about your interesting person. You know that person that just kind of grates you the wrong way? And you're trying to love them? And every time you try and love them, they just wham. And you're like, okay, you're so lovely. Anybody met an interesting person like that? You're just like, man, I keep trying to love them. But dear Lord, they're like a porcupine. You know, just about the time I think I got the bristles all down and I think, okay, you're good. You get a little closer and bing, oh mercy. Dear Lord, the porcupine pin came out again. You got to learn how to love the unlovely and guard your heart. Guard your heart. Recognize that there are going to be people in your life that you're going to love, but you're going to understand how they tick. There are certain people that I have learned that they have what I call explosive personalities. One minute we are chummy, and the next minute they might be biting my head off. I have learned to guard my heart, to go, okay, they're just having their moment right now. I'm not going to take it personal. I'm going to let them do what they do. It's not lovely, but they need to seem to do what they need to do. I've protected, has the protective covering, and my heart is not going to be broken. I've protected it because I've understood that's them. There's some people that you're going to be able to understand they're a little more even keel. There's personalities in this world. You ever met different personality? Some people doesn't go, woo. I'm a little more whoopsie doopsie. I have some emotions, you know, and I'm like, woo. And then other days I'm like, where's the coffee? But he's just me. Those me kind of people are great to have in your life. If you're one of those, man, you gotta have a few friends like that just me. Once in a while it might be a little woo. But pretty much, you need those because your heart can feel like, oh, thank goodness. You're not going to just bite my head off tomorrow. You know what I mean? Because if you have people in your life that take a little bite out of you all the time, you got to know how to protect this so that you are not a puddle of mess. Guard your heart. Okay, so love, joy. Do you know how to stay in joy even when you haven't had your coffee? Do you know how to stay in joy? What if they took coffee away from all of us by tomorrow? It'd be a riot. Starbucks, I like it a lot. But I need to have joy whether I get my Starbucks or not. And I go on fast periodically just to test myself. Just to make sure I am not dependent on Starbucks, I'm dependent on God. So you need to know how to have joy no matter what season of life you're in. Can you have the joy of the Lord? We have a gentleman in our church who, his wife decided to go do her thing. Not a lovely thing, and his heart was just, he came to us just in a broken mess, needing his heart to be restored. And he said, I've got to get my joy back. And it was literally just a matter of a couple weeks. And he was like, if I had known then what I know now about having joy in my alone time with God, dear Lord, why wasn't I doing that years ago? I did not realize that if once I talk to God and study the word and get some good devotionals in me, that it would actually bring me joy. This is a man talking who's not real emotional. You know what I'm talking? But he discovered a key ingredient to a guarded heart is having time with God. That is what's going to maintain your joy. Because, you know, you can come to joy and get your joy pants on. And then by next Sunday, man, they're so long gone, you don't know what happened to them. But you need to put your joy pants on every day because you are in the Word. You're talking to God. You're telling God he's your best friend. I learned at a young age that Jesus was my best friend. You know, it's so funny. As a little kid, I learned he was my best friend because he used to help me find stuff I lost. Okay, that sounds silly, but I'm still doing it today. If I lose something, usually the first thing that pops out of my mouth is, God, I've done it again. Please help me find such and such. I do not know where I put it. Bring it back to my remembrance. He's so good to me that way. He just, oh, thanks, God. Okay. And I'll go find it. I fell in love with Jesus as a little girl by that. And then by the time I became a teenager, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and began, I was like, wow, this is cool. I get to talk to God in a language between him and me. That's like really radical. But that was so cool. And I began to have a relationship with God that was so amazing that during the teenage years, when I was, I enjoyed dating, I will admit it. And when I was out on dates, it is literally my relationship with God that kept me on the good road. Because there was a side of me that was like, oh, you're cute. I admit it. I just, you know, I liked boys. But it was my relationship with God. I remember a couple times when, you know, you're in the car and the boys wanting to, and you're like, I said, no, absolutely not. My God and I are not going to go for that. So sorry. It works. It works. You can have a wonderful, pure life. And it's not old fashioned. It's just God. It's just God. And it's God helping you guard your heart. Just God. Whew. Long suffering. Oh, I didn't like that one. Drew up the strength to keep the love and the joy in your life and your heart good when you're going through something. How many have ever gone through something? Okay. And you had to figure out how to muster up the strength to get to the other side. Did you have to do that? So, kindness. You have to muster up kindness, don't you? All the time. Do you know that you can ask God to help you to be kind? Because he says, out of the issues of your heart will flow things. Having a heart after God will produce a stress-free life. Having a heart after God will produce a stress-free life. Having a heart after God will produce a happy marriage, a functioning normal home, a home that serves others and follows God's plans. A guarded heart is Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your, and lean not on your own understanding. And then it goes on in chapter 16 to say, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. A guarded heart has joy. Would you stand with me? In the next session, I feel at the end, I really want to pray over women after the next session. So I know it was mentioned that you have all this time allotted, and I'm very thankful because I believe you are here by an appointment. This isn't just a chance. God really has your name on tonight. God wants to do some medicine right here. He wants to heal some hearts. He wants to restore some things. He wants to bring back some joy that we have allowed the enemy to steal. And it's time to get this mended. Holy Spirit, you are called for your presence in this room right now. And I thank you for each woman who you are calling to guard their heart. You want them to walk in love. You want them to walk in joy and peace. So, Father God, I thank you that tonight is an appointment with you. Tonight is a night of restoring. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is the beginning of the process of the guarded heart. Not only are you going to be healed tonight, but God is going to begin to nudge at you tomorrow about what the guarded heart looks like when your heart wants to go to its default. You will find that it can't go there anymore. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Go ahead, nudge from the Holy Spirit. Really quick, I know we're going to be going to dinner here in a little bit, but I just feel a nudge from the Holy Spirit before we ever go to dinner that we just need to take care of a couple things before we go to dinner, because I want you ready for what's going to happen after dinner. So Holy Spirit, I thank you right now that those in the room who need to, first of all, say, God, I just surrender all of my heart to you. Every part of it. I've been 100%. My heart has been like partially towards you, but I haven't been 100% all on board. And therefore, I've probably allowed some hurt and some pains to affect my heart. And I haven't really even noticed till tonight that those hurts and those pains have begun to change who I am and who I know I am called to be. But tonight I want to be 100% for God. I want to be sold out living for Him. He is not going to only be my Savior, my ticket to heaven, but He's going to be completely in charge. And I need to make that commitment tonight. Ladies, if that's you, would you just raise your hands towards heaven? To all pray these prayers with these ladies. Just, I want to give the Holy Spirit a few more minutes, because I believe the Holy Spirit's talking to some of you. He wants you all in, not just part, but all of your heart. What have you allowed to take away what He has given? Raise your hands towards heaven and pray this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, for the blood of Jesus that right now forgives me where I have fallen short, where I have given up. I thank you for your precious blood for me. And I ask that you would heal me tonight in Jesus' name. Heal the pain. Heal the turmoil. I give it to you. I surrender it all. And from tonight, I desire to serve you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I'm excited for dinner, but I'm more excited for some of you to share around your tables. Don't be shy about what God's doing in your heart. Can you do that? Can you share with someone, this is what God's doing in me? Can you do that around the tables?
Hallelujah, that was a good word about our heart. I know many of you have been touched and intrigued by the things of God, and but I'm sure your tummies are rumbling too. So let's just pray together, and then you feel free downstairs to sit at any table and enjoy what the women have prepared for you. So Father God, we thank you for everything you've done for us today, and we thank you.